Relay. This is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode number 93, recorded April the 14th, 2025. I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell. And with me again, the injury expert himself. He is not under the knife, but probably holding the knife or next to the guy holding the knife. Not a doctor. It's Will Carroll. Hi, Will.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
I didn't want to say you were under the knife because you're neither operating nor being operated upon, but Under the Knife is the name of your longtime column and now your Substack. So
yeah, one, I always wonder about that because, you know, I just tossed it out one day. I didn't think this was going to be a career. What would I have named it if I had actually thought I was going to have to stick with that name for all those years? That and, you know, injury expert, which was just because Will Carroll was taken and I had to think of something.
Yeah.
That still ticks me off. To this day, you know, I don't use X, what was Twitter, but the person who had Will Carroll actually tweeted like four times and just stopped. And, you know, once a year I would say, hey, I will buy this from you. But never responded.
No, I think that happened to me too. I wanted six colors on Twitter, and there was a gay nightclub in Guadalajara called Six Colors. And they signed up for that long before I even came up with the name. But like, I think like the Will Carroll, they, I don't know if they went out of business or whatever, but like whoever made that account then like just went away and no, it wasn't being monitored. It didn't answer DMs. There was no, and Twitter at that time was, you know, differently managed, but also haphazardly managed, where I had heard tale that people could, you know, find somebody at Twitter and say, can you get me that account? And they would, and it's inactive, and they would say yes, but I could never find the right person for that. And so I was Bleed Six Colors on Twitter for my website all that time. And it's just, what you going to do?
My friend, Michael Grady, who is now an NBA announcer at ESPN. He was the Timberwolves for a while there, longtime Pacers guy. He was the guy who did the voiceover for the Nickel.
Right.
So he actually found the person who had just at Grady rather than, I think his was like Michael middle initial Grady, whatever his middle initial was. But he actually like bought it from the guy and it was worth it to him.
Right. Which like, technically you're not allowed to do. But again, I think people didn't care. Well, it's Will Carroll anyway, regardless of your handles and column names. And we're going to talk mostly about sports stuff there. I did get some feedback where somebody was like, oh, no, not more sports. And it's like, well, sports, unfortunately, sports is one of the most interesting things going on in the world of streaming right now. And so we're going to talk about it today and ongoing. I mean, Julia was the one who started singing Sports Corner, right? Like, it's a thing that we are going to talk about regardless. Also, by the way, before we get into it, I will say, great that Will is here. Looks like I'm going to have Joe Dalian back on our next episode. But Julia is back in the media business. And I fully expect that next month, you know, you're going to be seeing her on the regular. But we're going to try to keep Will and Joe in the family, too, because it's been fun talking to you guys. And I think you guys both bring something different to the party. So in addition to Julia being back, I would love to have you guys pop up. Also, Julia literally is traveling so much that we used to have huge problems scheduling. Yeah. And in fact, Julia was supposed to be back next time and she's going to be in like the UK. So she won't be back next time. She'll be back the time thereafter. But anyway, so that's my host update.
You can't podcast from there. There's a podcast I listen to that's evidently just really exploded called The Rest is History.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're never in the same place. It's right. Like, there's another one that's The Rest is Politics.
Right.
And those guys are never in the same place. Where are you today? I'm in Istanbul. Where are you? Columbus, Ohio. It's the most random places.
I will tell you, it's great. We tried to get Julia to do more podcasts while she traveled, and she like forgot her mic at one point, and like there's all these things going on, and it can be a challenge. I think that's also code for she's traveling. It may be a personal trip or it may be that she's packed with meetings, but yes, you can podcast. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons we're recording this early on April 14th is because I'm going to be traveling this week. And again, I could take a microphone with me, but I'm at an event and I'm going to just focus on that. And we'll do this a little early. So thank you for popping in on a Monday.
No problem.
Let's start with Major League Baseball, which I think is nearest and dearest to our hearts. I mentioned this in passing, I think last time, but the local broadcasting story, I believe that twice as many teams are available for their games to stream in local markets without being a cable subscriber as last year. And so very clearly, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and his people have made a concerted effort to get baseball on streaming. And also, we know with the ESPN divorce/dispute, we have had, the rights issue is up in the air where they're going to be replacing ESPN or going back to ESPN. There was a story the other day where somebody at ESPN said, "We still love you," to Major League Baseball. This is interesting because this is a league trying to reconfigure its television strategy kind of in real time as we watch, with the fall off of the RSNs and the introduction of local streaming. So, you know, do you have some insight into what their kind of big picture plan is here?
No.
Okay. Well, then
honestly,
let's make it up.
No. Yeah. So this year, there has been more. There's 27 out of the 30 have something you can buy.
Yeah.
What they don't have is some overarching, what everybody thought MLB.TV was going to be back in the day.
A 30-team no blackouts package is not what they have.
No. Nobody ever thought no blackouts because, I mean, I hate blackouts. There's a reason for them.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. They're coming back too, but we'll get there.
Yeah. I don't think it's bad. The couple that were going to be the most difficult were the Dodgers with their monstrosity of a local rights package that was Sportsnet and is now Spectrum. But there's something happening there. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about it. The Dodgers' entire structure is very odd right now. That's a whole different story. But 27 of the 30, there's a couple teams. We talked about the Rangers starting up RSN, which I know you love. Mm-hmm. Really, the only team that's making any money off it is Philadelphia. Because they own their own, being Comcast.
Right.
But they handle six of them themselves. It's still locally produced, but distributed, kind of financed by MLB. So there's no income. I think in the next CBA, which is coming at the end of next season and will probably be negotiated in the press all of next year, is going to have some sort of player involvement. Rob Manfred and the owners are starting to whisper salary cap.
Yeah.
They're going to say salary floor out loud, and sure, you're going to hear several teams just scream bloody murder because
this,
the salary.
Yeah, this is what people don't realize is that the biggest conflict in baseball labor negotiations is not the players and the owners. It's the rich owners and the quote unquote poor owners, the small market and large market owners, however you want to phrase that, because if you're the Pirates, you make a lot of profit by not mm-hmm. having a big payroll, and a salary floor prevents you from pocketing all that money that you get paid to be a baseball owner without trying.
You're literally profitable on day one.
Yeah.
You never have to sell a ticket. You never have to sell an ad. The Pirates actually cut down their ad department this year. I'm told they're all sold.
Still sold that booze ad on the Clemente wall in right field, though. Brilliant.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Just terrible, terrible. The Pirates, we can do a whole show about them.
But that's the conflict. It's like you've got the Dodgers that are you know, high revenue, you know, the Yankees, all of that. And then down at the other end, you've got teams like the Pirates and the A's that get largesse from Major League Baseball. And like, the ones who are rich don't want to subsidize the ones who are poor and not trying. And the ones who are poor and not trying are very happy to be poor and not try because they are pocketing tens of millions of dollars a year.
Exactly. And this is where it gets interesting. The reason the NFL can get away with having a market like Green Bay, it's historical, but they can get away with it because all the revenue is shared.
Yeah.
All the revenue is not shared in baseball. The local package, which used to be the vast part of the, well, it used to be ticket sales. Then it was the local TV money because it's 162 games. It's a huge inventory. It carried whole channels and turned TBS into a network. So if you can collect that, suddenly they're the NFL. And suddenly the ownership inequality, I don't want to call it small markets because there is no small market, that could come back together. So I think this is what's going to happen, is that we're going to see them try to come up with some interim package for 26, maybe 27, and put this in for 28 as they come into the new CBA. I think we're going to see a real serious, almost unitary package. And I think in much the same way that MLS collected all those rights, did it at once, got the huge Apple deal, which I think is going to end up looking like a bargain if the league holds together. We'll talk about that later. That we're going to come up with one package. And the more I look at it, the more I don't think it's going to be the usual suspects. Everybody is saying Netflix is going to get more into sports, kind of. Apple's certainly done it with MLS. They could do it with MLB fairly easily. They already have an existing relationship. I think that we're actually going to see private equity come in. I think private equity is going to come over the top. They're going to take over the rights in the way that they have with some other sports, some big franchises like Barcelona. I think they're going to put together a package. They've already got ownership in so many teams. There are a couple hedge funds, a couple private equity firms that, you know, are buying up 5% and 6% of, you know, virtually every team.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to go that route, and I think it's going to come faster. I think it's actually going to be good for baseball.
So they're going to, the idea there is that they're going to buy all the baseball rights and create their own product to.
I think they're going to pool them rather than buy them. I think for a while, it's not going to be perfectly balanced. You're not going to get a 1 in 30 thing. If you remember the NBA, when they absorbed the ABA, there was actually a team called the Spirits of St. Louis.
Yeah, right.
Where they, instead of taking the buyout, they kept the TV rights. So they had to split it. And they actually had split it off from the other ABA teams. The Indiana Pacers owners regularly complained about this. They finally bought them out for like $1 billion before this last deal. But I mean,
because they got a team share of the TV revenue, yes, without a team.
Exactly. It was amazing. A full share, but it was a lot. It was a great decision
for not having for an entity that didn't exist.
Yeah. I think there'll be some weird formula where, you know, the Dodgers get more, the Yankees get more. It'll probably be, you know,
Based because the larger markets have more viewers. But if you're in a smaller market, but have a more loyal, larger viewership percentage wise, you would get more. So this is what I was going to say is, I think this is an interesting idea that you would basically be saying we're walking away more or less from your local channel showing the teams and to a larger model where everything is available. I guess the question is, you mentioned private equity, which is interesting, because the question is, why not just do it at MLB.TV? And the answer is because if somebody else has an ancillary business reason to use baseball to sell a larger product, it's a better deal than, I mean, this is that classic of like the NFL could just show all its games, but CBS and Fox and everybody will pay more because then they can advertise their other content during a game. So the idea here would be, I mean, the obvious one, despite all of the disputes here, is Flagship from ESPN. The idea that ESPN would say, okay, we don't just want Sunday Night Baseball. It turns out we actually want baseball. We want all of it. We want to put it on ESPN flagship, whatever it's called. And then everybody will know, just like with MLS and Apple TV Plus, everybody will know that if you want to watch a baseball game, doesn't matter if you want, you're a general baseball fan who wants to watch the Yankees and the Red Sox on a Sunday night, or if you're a Giants fan and you just want to watch the Giants, it doesn't matter. It's all, maybe with an asterisk, but basically it's all on flagship. That's where you go. You sign up for it. Maybe you pay extra. Maybe it's just part of the deal of signing up to flagship for whatever it is, $50 a month. And it's just baseball's in there with everything else. And Amazon, Netflix, Apple, like there are other places it could go. Although I mean, flagship is the one that's just hanging out there. I mean, I guess Max, but I don't think that David Zaslav is going to have the appetite. He seems to be sated having replaced the NBA with little bits and pieces of college football and the French Open and stuff like that. But like, it's really interesting that the great advantage of that is that there are no blackouts at that point, because it's just a thing that you buy and it's you're either in or you're out. Because the problem with the other vision that you might have for this is Rob Manfred pulls all that stuff back. And then before allowing local outlets access to all 162 games, he sections off vast quantities of it. And if you're an NBA fan, it's like you have your local NBA announcers and all that. And you're like, well, why is this game not on? And the answer is it's on TNT. You can't watch it on your local channel. You have to watch it on TNT. That's the risk factor of a multipolar. I mean, the advantage is something like the NFL. You've got a bunch of different partners and a bunch of different bidders, and you can maybe maximize your revenue. The disadvantage is now your fans have to have a subscription to like eight different things to see all the games.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. I think there's so much movement. You mentioned all those. I don't think by the time we get to that, we're going to have all of those. There's got to be consolidation.
Sure. But if Max and Peacock become a single thing, you know, they both those companies have sports rights that they find value in.
D-Max.
Who even knows? Oh. I mean, Max is a bad name anyway, and they regret not having HBO in the name so much so that they went back to the color.
That's a whole different show.
PMax is consult with your doctor if it's right for you.
That's one of those advertisements I get on YouTube.
People who are allergic to PMax should not take PMax. I wanted to throw in here another angle, which is there's a John Oren story, a great sports writer, a sports media writer at Puck now, who did a story about the local broadcasters and the death of the RSN. And his thesis is that broadcasters actually have an edge over RSNs. It's not true in every market, but this trend to say, well, actually, most markets have a lot of TV stations with a lot of unsold like inventory that's basically like infomercials. And if you put sports on there instead, those things have to be in every cable package. You can still stream it optionally on top as well. But there's access for everybody in that market to watch those games and see the ads. And then you sell the ads and you make money on that. Plus you can sell a streaming package separately. And that, or a lot of the people Oren talked to seem to suggest that it's going to take time. But there's one scenario here where, and this is quite a, you know, the alternative is what we just talked about like a giant mono package. But we've seen with hockey and basketball this interesting experimentation where, in the end, the local broadcasters might be a better fit business-wise than RSNs. So we will have gone from broadcast to cable and back to broadcast. But the idea, like, we've got local. I know it's not happening in the Bay Area right now, but we have so many local broadcast channels because it's Market 7 or whatever. And most of them, some of them are special interest or in different languages, but a lot of them, you know, they're vacant. There's very little on them. And if you could clear 3 or 4 hours, 162 times a year to put the Giants on, that would be a transformative thing for that business. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about this as an angle for not just baseball, but for basketball and hockey?
I think it's absolutely the case. Saturday, I was flipping around and remembered that the Xfinity series, the kind of AAA for NASCAR, is now on the CW. And I had honestly forgotten the CW even existed.
They've got a bunch of college football, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is something we've seen. We've seen the Rangers, the Utah teams are all on local. I think Phoenix is doing something on local.
Yeah. I think there's some of the teams in Denver might be too. But yeah, Phoenix is apparently one of the ones where the ratings haven't been that great yet. But like in other markets, their ratings have been good. So it's kind of a work in progress.
Might help if the Suns were good. Not missing out on the playoffs.
That was not stated in the article, and I felt was actually a really good example of sometimes it's about the product, right? It's just about the product.
Yeah, it always comes. I think it was Nate Silver who was like, ticket sales always come the year after you win. I imagine ratings are much the same, though you can be more immediate with it.
I can quote Orend here. He says that the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers in the NHL are doing well. According to Gary Bettman, that they're going to local broadcast is actually done pretty well, but the Jazz and Suns are down.
Yes.
But those are
fairly simple.
Not great teams.
Not great teams versus playoff teams, Stanley Cup winning teams.
Yeah,
recently.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean It's weird that we've gotten here, but the fact is local broadcast solves so many problems because if you offer a streaming thing for people who are cord cutters, there are people who will put up rabbit ears and they get it for free. It's must carry. So those channels are on every cable package that is available in that market, cable and satellite, essentially. So you end up in a scenario where you've got access to the entire market, which streaming even now is not access to the entire market. So anybody who wants to see the Suns can see them basically one way or another. And that if you're not going to make a deal for your whole league to be on a streamer or something, and I would even say, Will, I even think if you build a national streaming package for baseball, maybe you also let them put those games on a local broadcast channel, just like the NFL puts local teams on local broadcast channels. Maybe you even make some or all the games available in the local market over the air and on cable because it's incremental revenue. And that's the market that cares the most about that team.
I agree. I agree. I think that's a perfect solution. Far too logical for baseball.
Up everybody. Just write in if you're a baseball commissioner. Let's shift gears a little bit. NBA playoffs are coming up. It's the last hurrah for TNT before this deal goes elsewhere, goes to NBC. I hope that John Tesh song is coming back. Anything we should be watching out for or thinking about when we're thinking about going into the NBA playoffs, which will last, again, for the next, like, forever. 5 months? Because
It's so long. They got it timed well. I mean, they had to get some interest in those early rounds with the play-in games. Yep. I'm not sure those really work, but they kind of work. More teams without really more teams. Baseball had that issue of we added a new round, so now we're going to play the World Series in November, and we're going to freeze to death, and it's going to suck.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be this transition. I think we're going to get a swan song of sorts for TNT, even though they're keeping inside the NBA. Smart decision. Sounds like Warner Brothers came out pretty well on that whole thing. I think what's going to be interesting is that we're having a transition. And I'm very, very curious whether or not we're going to see the ratings suffer. We talked about the Suns. Kevin Durant is out of the playoffs. Is he as big a national star as he was? No. The Warriors are not great. Despite bringing in Jimmy Butler, they did not improve.
Well, they did.
The Lakers.
I was going to say they did improve, but they've just been kind of scuffling for the last week. They did dramatically improve when he got there. Yeah, but now they're in a play-in game, so how much better are they? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and
better
Steph
team,
is,
yes.
And Steph is 38 years old, so yeah.
Yeah, are they stuffing up the scuffling up the standings? No. Obviously, we've got the superstar team in Los Angeles, which is going to be big, and that's kind of both. You know, I don't think Luka Doncic gets the credit he deserves, but we've got, you know, Steph is on the edge. Durant is out. Jokic is on the edge. Curry is on the edge. The big stars of the last decade are kind of transitioning over. And, you know, if you haven't figured out who, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, you're about to find out. If you can name two players on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have the number one seed. Okay. All the teams, you know, there's this, I think it was HBO Max, whatever they're saying now, that on the Celtics, but it's from last year. I get it. I just think there's such a transition. I think it's going to be tough to sell an Oklahoma City versus Cleveland finals, which is what we're probably heading towards.
Might make some new stars, but that doesn't matter for this year when nobody knows who those people are.
Exactly. I mean, Oklahoma City, just an amazing rebuild from a team that was the Durant Harden team, and now they've brought in a bunch of people, made the smart trade. Sam Presti is the best GM in any sport. 15 years ago, I argued that a baseball team should hire. And people were like, but he's a basketball GM. I was like, I don't care. Just get smart guys in the room. They'll figure it out. So I haven't watched any NBA games this year just because it's not my thing, even though the Pacers have been better. I want to see what they do to make a fringe fan like me want to watch.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't watch, I think I probably watched a handful of college basketball games all year. Tournament starts, suddenly I'm in. I'm in a $5 pool for my, you know, bracket, which was busted day one, but somehow still I get invested in the tournament for these kids that I've never seen or heard of before, or again, for the most part.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You're right. The thing about sports, we always say this when we go to a live sporting event. Like if you want guaranteed good feelings and good vibes, go to the theater. Don't go to a sporting event because they may lose. You can't control it. And similarly, like, I'm sure that there are matchups that the NBA will want to have happen. I'm not a believer in conspiracy theories, but like, obviously the teams with the stars, you want those matchups because you want it to be the Lakers and the Warriors and it's LeBron and Steph, right? You want that because that's a great highlight matchup. I was watching one of the few NBA games I've watched all this year. I watched the Clippers Warriors game on Sunday because it was literally like a playoff game determining seeds. It's the last game of the year. Great game, very entertaining. And I'm not a big basketball fan either. And I thought to myself, well, the Warriors have a bunch of stars. That's good. And the Clippers, I don't know anything about them, but it's like, oh, it's James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. It's like, okay, like there's some stars on that team. That's good. Yeah. That's good. The challenge is what you said, which is a really young, exciting, great team like Oklahoma City. Great, except not yet. No stars yet, right? They should, and you could argue, yeah, but they do have stars and you should know who they are because they're great and they're the next generation. And that's all true. But if we're viewing this from a marketing and television storyline angle, it's a tougher sell. Small market, no existing known stars, even if their stars are being created right before our eyes. So that's the challenge of sports. You can't control it.
We haven't really had a breakout basketball star in a while. And this is intriguing to me. You know, is it that we have, okay, Ja Morant has been kind of a dope and done some dopey things.
Wembanyama.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Victor Wembanyama, very difficult to say. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can do that better.
Right.
Antetokounmpo.
Giannis. Say that way.
Yeah. But is it weird names? Is it that they're in out-of-the-way markets? They're all on national TV, so I don't get it. But none have really become super marketable yet. If I were a brand, I'd be grabbing Victor and putting him in everything because he's huge. He looks unnatural.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a friend who works for the Spurs, and I said, when they brought him in for workouts, I go, what does he look like? He goes, your brain can't process him. I'm around 7-footers all day long. And this guy walks in and your brain says, nope, that's not real. I find that intriguing.
That's how I felt about Kevin Durant. The first time I saw him was like, this man should be playing on whatever level is above the NBA. What's that outer space basketball league that...
Jam 3. Oh,
I mean, Jokic is another example. That's another kind of, there have been some, but yeah, it's not like, you know, it's and that is incumbent on the league also to try very hard, because a league needs stars and they want to make stars. And it's not fair if you're a fan of some other team or like it's not, I know it's not fair, but a league needs stars. The Major League Baseball needs Aaron Judge, and they need Shohei Ohtani. Like they need these players, because you need stars not only to market when they come to your town, but because when the bright lights are there, people want to see those people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we MLS has learned this in no uncertain terms. They brought over Beckham to make the league. Messi came over and changed the league again. And you know, if they bring over Kevin De Bruyne, does that move the needle for unless you're a soccer geek, do you even know who he is? It's going to be one of those that's going to be odd to see.
This episode of Downstream is brought to you by Factor. You might be feeling it's time to optimize your nutrition, if that's you. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved. They're ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. And Factor keto meals can help you meet your weight loss goals. They've conducted a randomized controlled clinical trial with Factor keto, though it's worth noting results will vary depending on diet and exercise. 40 different options across 8 different dietary preferences on the menu every week, so it's easy to pick the meals that are tailored to your goals and your taste. Choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. Reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that can't be beat. I got sent some Factor meals, and let me tell you, I had one. It was really good. My wife stole a bunch because she goes and works outside the house every day at the library, needs a lunch, tried a Factor meal, liked it so much, she now just steals them from me because she likes them. And let me just assure you, that doesn't happen with a lot of stuff that I get sent. It is legitimately good, surprisingly good, these Factor meals. They've worked it out. They've figured it out how to make them super tasty after just a couple of minutes in the microwave. In fact, we like Factor so much that now we're getting them for my mom because we were worried about her nutrition. She was not cooking for herself. And so now, guess what? She just has to microwave Factor meals and she's got all the food that she needs to stay healthy. Eat smart with Factor. Get started now at factormeals.com/downstream50off and use the code downstream50off to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code downstream50off at factormeals.com/downstream50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Thank you to Factor for supporting Downstream. Before we go, I like to do the TV pick section where we tell people something to watch. Well, what's your pick this time?
It's a show that's over almost. Apple announced they've declined to renew, cancel. I don't know what the proper TV term is.
Not bringing back, not renewing. Yeah.
But Mythic Quest is done after 4 seasons. There's sort of a spinoff called Side Quest that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But for 4 seasons, Rob McElhenney and the crew put together a very funny show. It was well done. It showed that Apple could do this kind of thing beyond just Ted Lasso. It wasn't lightning in a bottle. McElhenney, of course, sports adjacent with his Wrexham ownership. So it's going to, he also owns part of the Philadelphia Eagles now.
Mm.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see. It's well worth doing. The one thing I do love is that evidently that now finale, they would have done it differently. So Apple's going to let them do some reshoots.
It's not even that. I think they shot it both ways. And then when they hadn't gotten word, they released the one that has a continuing, goes off to the next season. And they're just literally, I think this week, going to release a new version of the last episode.
Okay, so they'd already shot it both ways.
Which they really should have gotten their act together and known and put that one out there, but they didn't do that. I agree completely. It's a great show. I feel like I'm okay with it being done because I feel like the show fainted at giving these characters development, and then every time it would pull it back and say, no, we actually like it the way it is. And I think if you're going to run your show that way, then 4 seasons is enough. I think that the show like the characters already were kind of straining credulity to some of their personal decisions that were there just to keep them on the show. I also think it's a kind of show where they could come back in 5 years and make another season of Where Are These People Now? And I think that would be great because I think it's a legitimately great show. And they used to do an off-format episode in each season.
Amazing.
And the side quest is basically like we have four ideas for that episode and they allowed them to make all four and just label it as side quest. I agree. People should check it out. If you're like not a fan of It's Always Sunny, it's okay. This is it. This is not like that show at all. No. You might like this very much. And Rob McElhenney is great in it. And there are a bunch of other really good performances in it too. So yeah, I agree completely. I want to highlight Black Mirror, which just came back for its seventh, I want to say, season on Netflix. It is an anthology show. It is our modern day version of The Twilight Zone. What I always struggled with Black Mirror is as much as I really like Charlie Brooker, the guy who writes most of them, his take, his sort of dark, cynical take on technology and how it interfaces badly with humans, because I think that's it. I don't think Charlie Brooker believes tech is bad. I believe Charlie Brooker believes tech enables the worst in people. And I think he's right in a large part. And I think they're good, but some of the shows were really dark. And I feel like this season, Charlie Brooker was like, maybe not quite as dark this time. Maybe I'll make it a little more like challenging, but a little more like San Junipero, the hands down best episode of Black Mirror, and make it also sort of sweet and nice and human. And human covers a lot from bad to good. And sometimes I worry that Black Mirror forgets that. And season seven, I've only seen about half of them. But I think he has not forgotten the good part of people in addition to the bad part. Some real bangers in there, including a sequel to USS Callister, the Star Trek pastiche / dark tech bro warning sign thing. It's really good. So Black Mirror on Netflix, which I still have because I haven't canceled it yet, but I'm not seeing the ads because I couldn't bear the ads.
Another show that, like, I think when Veep was at the end of their run, they kept saying, wait, we have to make this darker or more absurd because reality keeps catching up to us. I think that's what Brooker was like. I can't make this any darker. Look outside.
I think that's it. I think he decided it was too dark even for him, and so he decided to inject a little more humanity into it,
which is amazing because he's, if you ever saw any of his news shows,
right,
super insightful, super funny. And he wrote a book called I Can Make You Hate Me that is one of the most insightful things on kind of the reality TV industry, even though it's not about that. It's just I can make you feel things. And you learn more about TV and politics in that book, which I think was from like 2005. Just absolutely phenomenal mind. That's one of those guys I think I want to have dinner with, but I'm just not sure.
I think you probably would enjoy it. I think you'd be on hopefully on his best behavior. Anyway, if you're looking for something to watch out of that, I'm going to say Hotel Reverie, which is a beautiful story that sort of touches on some of the stuff we just talked about. It's about AI kind of reshooting an existing movie with AI technology and some new characters being inserted. And I thought it was sweet and sad, but also funny. And wild, just great stuff. I love wildly inventive. All right.
Yeah, can't wait to watch that.
So good. So that brings us to the end of this show. If you are not a Downstream Plus subscriber, you may have missed us talking about the Vision Pro and Yankee Stadium, new leagues forming, Major League Soccer, and of course, Zombie Vin Scully. What was that all about? Well, Downstream.plus. You'll get full versions of every episode, access to the Relay Discord, and much more. If you have a question or suggestion, again, Joe Adalian in a couple of weeks, it looks like, and then Julia a couple weeks after that, downstreamfeedback.com. We love to hear from you, love to hear mothers. You can find me at sixcolors.com and over here at Relay and theincomparable.com too. Will, plug Under the Knife, please.
Underthenife.substack.com if you care about baseball injuries. Intangible.co if you care about whether your athletes are clutch.
Ntangible, NTANGIBLE.co for that. And that's it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Goodbye.